morning. And a happy Mother's Day to you all. George, in the back, could you turn on the choir lights? Turn on the choir lights. Thank you. I've got a couple of things I need to touch on. Let me start with next week being the Great Commission Sunday. You found in your bulletins one of these. If you're not going to use this, bring it back. By use it, I mean bring it back next week or some week with an offering. Just leave it on the seat, if you would, because we just have a limited number of these, and I want to have some available for next week in case for people who didn't, who want to give next week but forgot their envelope at home or something. Again, this is not in lieu of your Great Commission offering, which many of you made when we had, in the fall we have our missions conference, and we ask people to pledge. Say, how much are you willing to give? How much is, or more to the point, is how much is, what is the Lord telling you you should be giving to missions? This is a supplemental offering. So you really need to go to the Lord on this and say, and ask God what it is you're to give. Don't be giving to the, in this because everybody else is, or just because we've asked. I really want you to pray about it. And give if the Lord tells you, and give what the Lord tells you. If He tells you to give, He will provide. That's all I can say. So we will be receiving this offering next week, and I'll be taking it with me to present at General Council on the rally on Saturday night. There's a clipboard out in the entryway. George has got that, which is a sign-up sheet for next Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning. Morning. For those 24 hours of prayer and fasting. I would encourage you to sign up to come here to the church for a two-hour period. I will be here the full 24 hours during the prayer and fasting time, and just come and join who's ever here. It may be just me and you, or it may be just me. But sign up if you can. Commit to coming. The reason why I ask you to sign up is when you do that, you're making a commitment. It will help you to remember to come instead of just saying, well, if I have time on Saturday, I'm going to come. I'm really asking you to make a commitment here. To pray and fast during that 24-hour period. Now, some of you have never fasted. If you have a medical condition that would preclude fasting, what I suggest is that you just have more of a bland diet. Just don't eat those things which you would consider to be, I mean, it's not the night for a prime rib dinner, okay? Go something a little more simple. If you need to eat, maybe you're just going to have oatmeal. If you need food with medication, if you take medication and it requires that you have food in your stomach, you're obviously going to need to eat something. So do so. Some of you, though a 24-hour fast, most people will not have any trouble with that. But again, I caution you, if you have any issues with it, don't go overboard. seek the Lord in that also. But I just am asking that we would each commit to have our attitude of prayer during those 24 hours and to set off specific hours to come here and join in that prayer. And at least not eat for those 2 hours. Okay. Following the prayer and fasting, the elders are providing a dinner. And you are all invited to come. You are told to bring your appetites and nothing more. It's going to be, the main dish, I will tell you, will be that chicken and rice dish from the what's the name of the restaurant? Donna? Yeah. Top Diner. We had that for our missions conference a couple years ago. We had them provide this chicken and rice dish, and it's very, very good. So that's our main course. So, there will be plenty of food. It will be good food. And we will. We just want you to come. We just want to do this as a blessing to all of you for all the work you've done. So many of you work so hard around here. We just want to be a blessing back to you. Okay. It is Mother's Day. It is obligatory that on Mother's Day, the pastor share a Mother's Day joke. It's in the rules. You know you're a mom, you've turned into a mom when you automatically double knot everything you tie. You find yourself humming Barney songs as you do the dishes. You know you've turned into a mom when you hear a baby cry in the grocery store and you start to gently sway back and forth, however your children are at school or maybe grown up and gone. You weep through the scene in Dumbo when his mother is taken away. Not to mention what Bambi does to you. You get so into crafts, you contemplate writing a book called 101 Fun Crafts to Do with Dryer Lint and Eggshells. You know you've turned into a mom when you spend a half hour searching for your sunglasses only to have your teenager say, "Mom, why don't you wear the ones pushed up on your head?" And you know that you've turned into mom when you're out for that nice romantic meal with your husband. You're enjoying some real adult conversation and you realized that you've just reached across to his plate and cut up his steak for him. Okay. Then I have some logic or some things that mom taught me. My mother taught me logic. Because if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. Mom taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me genetics. You're just like your father. Your mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me the wisdom of the age. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. And my mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. And then the all-time favorite, justice. The topic that mother taught me. So one day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out to be just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. So, I've heard some of those. I also wanted to share with you maybe something a little bit more touching about mothers. This is a Helen Stenner Rice poem, Mother's Love. is a haven in the storms of life. A mother's love is like an island in life's ocean vast and wide, a peaceful, quiet shelter from the restless rising tide. A mother's love is like a fortress, and we seek protection there when the waves of tribulation seem to drown us in despair. A mother's love's a sanctuary where our souls can find sweet rest from the struggle and the tension of life's fast and futile quest. A mother's love is like a tower rising far above the crowd, and her smile is like the sunshine breaking through a threatening cloud. A mother's love is like a beacon burning bright with faith and prayer, and through the changing scenes of life, we can find a haven there. For a mother's love is fashioned after God's enduring love. It is endless and unfailing, like the love of Him above. For God knew in His great wisdom that He couldn't be everywhere, so He put His little children in a loving mother's care. It's a nice poem. It's not theologically correct, of course, but it's very nice. Sentiments. It's indeed one that we can all appreciate. God is everywhere, but He has in His wisdom chosen to use us and so I believe that is one of the reasons why He gave us mothers. Apologies. I don't know if that's still the virus that I had or if I've got allergies going on, but I'm on Benadryl and everything's like dry. So, apologize for the slurping sounds. Well, with those words that we read there, I want to go to some new words, which are some old words, in Proverbs. Chapter 30, and we're going to read of the wife of noble character. Chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm. All the days of her life, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction it gives us, how you provided this word not to entertain us, though it can be, not to do anything other than to instruct us and lead us closer to you and how we can best live our lives here on this earth. Lord, you've provided this word that is as relevant and vibrant and alive today as it was when you first spoke. And Lord, we give you praise and we thank you for it. And we ask now that you'd send your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding and discernment of these words. Lord, I pray that as I come and preach, you would speak through me and that I would speak words of encouragement to your people. And that each person who's here would have been encouraged this day. That each one would be blessed and be just a little bit closer to you. Father, I do ask that it would be your truth and your glory and your love which is presented. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got things going on multiple levels throughout this passage. And there's a lot of material there. But this is the capstone of Proverbs. We've just finished going through the first 9 chapters and we've been introduced to the woman wisdom. And this is what the Lord chose to end Proverbs with. So we've got things going on several directions. I'm going to look at 3 of them, 3 levels here. I'm not saying that's all there is, but there's 3 that I'm going to look at here. First one I want to touch on is that this passage sets up a goal for women to shoot for. I mean, when you read what this woman is accomplishing, what she is doing in her life, this is the woman of noble character, valiant character. You go, I mean, come on. She's making the clothing, she's buying the vineyard, she's doing this, she's doing that. And she's up before dawn, she's to bed after midnight. I mean, everybody praises what she's doing. And she's providing for her family. She's taking care of the poor. She fears God. This is what you're to be shooting for. This isn't what's meant. This isn't what the average house looks like. This isn't what most people achieve. I mean, she exceeds all others. I mean, not everybody can exceed everybody else. What we have here is this passage isn't meant to give women an inferiority complex. I can never measure up to that standard. That is not the standard. That is the gold medal. That is the prize performance. That's what we're shooting for. That's the direction. Here, where you're being told to go. So women, look at this as this passage as an encouragement, not a criticism. You say, well, you know, I can't do all this. Do what you can. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Now, that passage alone is a tough one to achieve, isn't it? She brings good, not harm, all the days of her life. But remember, this is what we're shooting for. You know, Donna's hurt my feelings a time or two, and so did my mother. Even my grandmother hurt my feelings. But does that mean that they didn't love me, or that, hey, is this my God? Is that the problem? I'm getting close to it? Okay. That's not what's going on. The goal here is for you to be shooting for this is an encouragement for where to go, so that you can be better tomorrow than you were today. You can be better today than you were yesterday and better tomorrow than you were today. Get my order confused. It's the drugs, okay? So our second level that things are working on here. Our first level, this is the goal, ladies. Seek to live a life that does that. Second one is that it sets out the role of women. Now, there's an interesting dynamic in Judaism. Mama's in charge, but yet she's not, kind of thing. You've got parts of Judaism where they have part of a worship service can be start off with, I thank thee, O Lord, that I was not born a woman. Okay? Now, they also have a proverb that says, God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. So, personally, I think the reason why they got the first one is they looked at all the work the woman's doing here and said, thank you, Lord, I'm not a woman, because she works so hard. But what this does is, I don't think that line is right and shouldn't be part of a worship service. Because when we look here, this woman is set up as an example. She's instructing her family. She's taking care of her. She is literally the heartbeat of her family. And she's to be praised at the city gates. This is setting up, this is showing us what a woman's place is to be. Well, a woman's place is to be, you know, to be subservient to the head of the household.
asked, well, yes, but let's not go overboard or take that the wrong way. The husband is to be the head, the woman underneath that. But what is the phrase? You know, the head turns where the neck takes it. If each one is being subservient to the other, then nobody's being downtrodden. And when we see here, is a woman of noble character. Now, you see anything in here that looks like a woman who is put upon or abused? She is industrious. She's a hard worker. She gives alms. She praises God. She teaches her children. She goes out and she buys a field with the profits she made from another job. We don't see that she went to her husband and said, can I please? No, she knew what needed to be done for the best of the household according to whatever instructions or directions they have, and did it. Her children arise and call her blessed. And her husband also. And he praises her. Now, if this is laying out what the role is, then my role is to be praising my wife and praising my mother and women in this in our community and lives. This doesn't set out a role of somebody who's being pushed down. This is someone who's empowered. This is someone who is industrious, who does what is best and sees it through to the end. Our third level that I see things going here is the personification of Lady Wisdom. I say Mother Wisdom here. But in the beginning of Proverbs, we are introduced to the Lady Wisdom. And here we're brought back, and all the commentators agree, and I do too. When you read Proverbs as a whole, you have to understand that this wife of noble character is wisdom, that whom we were introduced to earlier. That shows me that wisdom is somebody who we need to be seeking out, who we've been shown before. We've been told, seek her out, she's more precious than rubies. Well, here we find that this is exactly who the wife of noble character is. She's more precious than rubies. And who can find her? But obviously she's been found, has she not? Otherwise she wouldn't be married. This is the personification of wisdom, whom we each one can and should be seeking after to make part of our lives. Now, when we do this, when we seek wisdom and take her figuratively here as our wife, These blessings that we see here is what she's going to be bringing to us. You see, if wisdom is part of my life, she will see that her trade is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. What does that mean? It means that the activities that I do, be involved with, would be good. And that my lamp would not go out at night. Well, that means that I'm always industrious, maybe working at night, or maybe it just means that I've been provided for in such a way that my lamp isn't going to run out of oil at night. I've had forethought, one, to fill it up, and two, to go buy that, have that extra to have something to fill up that need. That's wisdom. Well, don't you think it's wise to, to have that what you need to, if you know something's going to run out, to have the extra? That's why I keep a printer cartridge in the desk drawer. We run out of ink, I slap in a new one, then I go buy another one, because now I know that my extra one's gone. I don't wait till the printer cartridge is empty. We call that wisdom. Well, it's really common sense. But I've heard wisdom called common sense and working clothes. So these blessings. This is what God wants for us. Each of us. If we seek after Him, if we seek after wisdom, He will bless us. And I say, Pastor, you've talked about three different things. You've looked at the same passage, and you've gone three different way directions on this. You know, which way does this mean? What does it mean? And then the answer I go is yes. I don't believe I'm taking it out of context or twisting the meaning or allegorizing on this or using poor human hermeneutics. When we read this, first we want to read it just to see what it says. And that's what I did in the first one. And I saw an encouragement to the women. Then when we read this, when we study it, when we see what the Bible says about women, well, how can we apply that? And we can see that if this is what a woman is supposed to be doing, then a woman is supposed to be intelligent, industrious, and empowered, and all these wonderful things. And that's their role. And that the husband's job, or one of his jobs, or what we see is just that he's blessed by her, and yet he praises her. How many of you wives don't like to hear praise? Nobody's hand is going up. How many of you like to hear praise? Everybody likes to hear praise. Makes us feel good, encourages us. And then as we read this passage too, we need to read it in the context of the entirety. And we see that the woman that we were introduced to, wisdom, is here. And if this is wisdom who's being spoken of, who we have been told earlier to seek as our wife, and now we have this whole passage on what this wife is like. So we have these three levels. And there may be more. But when we look at this, I see these three. And I see how it encourages us. I see how it empowers us. And I see how it blesses us. So I enjoin you, I encourage you right now, seek wisdom. Seek Mother Wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us instruction on how to live our lives. Lord, that you have given us goals to shoot for. Lord, that you have shown us how we should interact with one another. Lord, that you have revealed to us the blessings you have for us. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Help us to truly gather wisdom to ourselves and to hold her close. In Jesus' name, amen.